but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game. By the big left tackle, who's a great pass protector.
Genty breaking a tackle with that stiff arm. Takes a little stutter step, picks up a first down, cuts it back inside. Ashton Genty trying to turn on the gas. Spinning into the end zone. My goodness.
My goodness. Ashton Genty had a great season. He ended up on top of my Heisman ballot. He is now poised to be drafted. He's in Green Bay ahead of tomorrow's NFL draft. Also in Green Bay, BJ Raines, Bronco Nation News, joining us. He talked to Ashton Genty and a whole bunch of other people today in Green Bay, and BJ Raines is with us. A lot of excitement, juice, buzz. How's it going there?
Oh, it's going great. I was just thinking about that. I may need to change the name to like Pac-12 News or something. I need a broader name here to widen this thing out a little bit. But
I like it.
It was first time in Green Bay for me, so was fun to get a chance to see everything today. They did a real nice job with the media, giving them kind of a tour and letting us see the green room and the draft stage and all the different areas, Lambeau Field, where the red carpet's going to be tomorrow. And it rained a little this morning, so they had to put us in a little, I would say they sheltered us. It wasn't like a tornado or anything, but they got us in a covered area for a half an hour, and we were able to resume it. And the weather actually made it pretty nice in the afternoon. But overall, yeah, it's pretty cool. Just bumped into Dan Patrick and his crew at the pizza place I was at, and just a lot of celebrities and athletes, and just a cool time. And it's pretty cool to be here and looking forward to tomorrow.
Give me an idea, Genty's emotions. Like, you know, I know that, you know, he had dreamed of this day and visualized this day, and now he's a day away from it.
Yeah, I talked to him earlier today, and that's exactly right. Here's a kid that, you know, everybody knows his path and his background and grew up, traveled a lot, and, you know, grew up overseas some, and has been and bounced around. His dad was in the military and, got to Boise State as a freshman. And, you know, sure, he said, yeah, I dreamed this could happen. But when he came in as a freshman, everybody thought he was a solid player. He wasn't, you know, a 4- or 5-star recruit. He wasn't anybody, you know, that they thought right away would just be some instant star, future first-round pick. And he worked his tail off and instantly got on the field, made an impact the last couple of years. And yeah, now he's poised to, you know, I think be a top-5 pick. I mean, I think the Raiders all along seemed like the spot, and now all the buzz here is that they're not going to make it to 6, so he's going to be gone before then, whether the Jags take him at 5 or somebody trades up to 5. So I think it's just a pretty surreal moment. It's got to be for a kid, like I said, that just had this dream, and now to be 24 hours away from being a millionaire and being a top, you know, pick. And all he has to do is be pick 11 or higher, and he'll be the highest pick Boise State's ever had. So that's pretty much a lock. So he's going to make more history for Boise State tomorrow. And he's not really a super emotional guy, but with his family here and stuff, his parents, I could see tomorrow obviously going to be a special day for him.
The run-up to the draft often turns into, media and the mock drafts nitpicking players. What's the nitpick on Ashton Genty?
If there was one, probably that he fumbles too much. I think he had 9 fumbles the last 2 years or something. He didn't lose them all, but he did fumble the ball at times. And there was earlier, I want to say when he was a freshman or sophomore, he got benched in a game for fumbling. But I would counter that with the only reason he fumbles is because he just refuses to go down. And a lot of those times when he did fumble, he was getting, it was the 4th or 5th guy in a pile trying to knock the ball out after he just refused to go down. So, you know, most guys would have already been tackled, but he continues to push the pile forward, refuses to go down, and you get 7 guys in there with their hands punching at the ball. Sometimes it comes out. So I would say fumbling's the one real negative people could have on him, but I don't even know how big of an issue that actually is when you see the fumbles themselves.
I am, part of it was his hand injury. Any, update on what that injury ultimately was on his hand or his arm?
Yeah, I think it was something with the elbow, like a hyperextended elbow or something. That was in the UNLV game earlier in the season when he had to wear the brace and all that. But, no, that was they got past that, and that, you know, later in the season wasn't an issue at all, and he was perfectly fine in the Fiesta Bowl. So, I mean, yeah, it is pretty remarkable, and you see the amount of hits that guy takes and the you know, all the beating that his body took with all those carries. You know, seven of the last eight games or something like that, 30-plus carries and all the touches, and to really not have anything more significant than just a, you know, hyperextended elbow that he still played through, really was pretty remarkable. So his durability is certainly probably something that people are going to talk a lot about too, because he for all the beating he took, he was out there ready for those 30 carries, even that following week, and even in that game when he hurt his elbow, he put the brace on and went back out there and helped lead them to a win.
I covered David Carr years ago when he was at Fresno State, and he got, you know, he was the number one overall pick in the 2002 draft, and I felt bad for him because I knew he was going to a bad team. I knew, you know, he got sacked 60 times the next year. It really was the beginning and end of his NFL career going to expansion team. Is there a team that you think is the right fit for Ashton Jeanty, BJ?
Well, I mean, I think certainly you talk about the Bears, the offensive line the Bears have, a veteran returning offensive line, Ben Johnson, what he's done with the running backs with the Lions. You know, I think that a good, really good fit would be the Bears, which with their style of football and what he brings to the table and their offensive line. I think the Raiders, Pete Carroll obviously likes to run the football and you know, has that kind of attitude as well. I think he would probably be a pretty good fit there in Las Vegas. It's funny, a lot of Boise State fans like don't want him to go to Jacksonville, just because it's, you know, you just all these guys go to Jacksonville and it's just kind of NFL purgatory in terms of stars and that team and everything else. And it's just the furthest place, I guess, aside from Miami, away from Boise. And just not a lot of excitement with Jacksonville, but he actually was born in Jacksonville. I mean, he only lived there for a year or two, I think, and then he moved away, but he was actually born in Jacksonville, which would be kind of a cool story if he goes to Jacksonville at number five. But I would say the Bears probably would make the most sense. I guess me being a Chiefs fan, I'll just throw the Chiefs out there. We know that's not happening. No, I think any team he goes to, he's good enough. I think he's going to make an impact right away and can be a star player right away wherever he goes.
The, you know, the scene there at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, the surrounding area, for those of us who've never been there, BJ, can you tell us, like, you know, is the stadium, you know, in a centrally located area, or what is the feel of that town and that venue?
Yeah, it kind of has the Wrigley Field vibe for you a little bit. I mean, it's not quite as, like, in the middle of a neighborhood as Wrigley Field, but, I mean, you're driving on the freeway and you just look over and you just see it, or even like by my hotel. I mean, I'm not even on the freeway. I'm just on a regular street, and you just, the stadium just kind of towers over the skyline, over the city. Anywhere you look, you just look over there, and there it is. And so the renovations they've done have been super nice as well. I mean, it's got that feel of obviously a historic, you know, stadium. It's been around a long time, but it also has the feel of a newer stadium with some renovations and some of the things they've done with the video boards and some of the seats they've added, where it doesn't feel old. When you're in there, it doesn't feel like some, you know, really old stadium. It looks like they've done a nice job keeping it old and adding some new features to it, expanding it with some new seats and new press boxes and things like that. But no, it's a pretty cool, and I can only imagine what a home game day does for this economy, and I can only imagine what this draft's doing. I mean, they're expecting a 250,000 people or whatever to come into a town that I think the population's barely over 100,000 or something. So I won't tell you how much I paid or the quality of hotel I'm staying at, but I'll just say they're making some money this weekend. And you know, it's good for the city, good for everybody. And you can just tell the connection the Packers have with their city and their fan base, just based on the fact that, yeah, this is a city probably kind of like Boise and Boise State football that just lives, breathes, sleeps, you know, Packer football. And Lambeau Field was pretty cool being over there and seeing the statue, Vince Lombardi, and then actually seeing the Vince Lombardi trophy and just a lot of the history and the Super Bowls and the rings and stuff there. It was pretty cool.
I also noticed on your social media feed that you bought some merch. You bought a draft hat. You brought a draft football. You know, without going too far down the rabbit hole, how commercial does this thing feel with the pop-up, you know, merch tents and stuff?
Well, my kids told me that, and when I was leaving, I was trying to explain to them, you know, it's the draft and what's our explaining to them what's happening and I'll be back, and then they wanted a souvenir. So I asked them about a cheese head. I figured that'd be a good souvenir, a cheese head from Green Bay, and then neither one of my kids had any idea what I was talking about. My one oldest kid said, why would I put a piece of cheese on my head? So I said, okay, I'll get something different. And then I decided the NFL draft merchandise. But, yeah, the mini football still ran me about $40 or something for my kids. So, it is what it is. You know what you're getting yourself into. But I kind of knew that going in. But I figured you had to get the footballs. I got a little mini helmet to put on my desk, and then at that point I figured, all right, I might as well get the hat and the shirt as well. I think I got a nice little pullover. So, yeah, no, they have some pop-up merchandise, pop-up beer stands. I mean, they have all kinds of stuff there. I mean, the whole scene right around the stadium was incredible because the draft itself is out in the parking lot. I mean, most of this stuff is actually out in the parking lot. When you think, oh, Lambeau Field, you're thinking the draft's going to be, like, on the field or whatever, and that's not the case at all. It's outside in the parking lot, and you know, when you're standing on the stage, you can kind of see Lambeau Field, you know, the shadows off, you know, right there in the other side of the parking lot. So the visuals will be pretty cool, and they've got the draft experience. They've got the little field where they did the clinic today where kids can go play, and they've got all the title town and all the bars. But, you know, they did a really nice job. You can go see all the Super Bowl rings and go see the trophies and go get a history of all the different draft stuff and take your picture with, you know, all kinds of different stuff for your team. So they did a really nice job of kind of honoring Green Bay and where the draft is here and some of their traditions, but also if you're a fan of the Chiefs or the Raiders or some other team, there's a lot of individualized stuff and history for your team as well, and they're selling obviously the official draft hats and all that kind of stuff. So it's a pretty cool thing. I can see why this has become such a big event. You kind of wonder why it didn't happen earlier in terms of taking it on the road like this, because it's a whole big deal, and I think it's going to Pittsburgh next year, I believe. It's pretty cool, and for the cold weather cities like Green Bay that, you know, won't ever get a Super Bowl, this is a pretty cool kind of consolation thing, and I think it's cool the NFL is doing this.
BJ Raines is with us, covers Boise State. You can find him at BroncoNationNews.com. BJ, Ashton Gentry stayed at Boise State. He could have left. He could have been one of those guys that went to an SEC team or went to Oregon and cashed in and made more money. What did that mean to Boise State fans to have him, you know, bet on Boise State and stay committed?
Oh, it means the world to them, and that's why I think the connection is so strong on both sides. And, I mean, if he'd have left and gone and played 1 year at Oregon, today and tomorrow would not be the same. I probably wouldn't be here covering the draft, and it just would not be the same because it'd be Oregon running back Ashton Gentry, not Boise State running back Ashton Gentry, or wherever he could have gone. And so the fact that he did stay, the fact that he's going to be the sixth, you know, first-round pick in Boise State history, the fact that he's going to be the highest pick in Boise State history, and the fact that Boise State is getting a ton of love. Spencer Danielson, athletic director Jeremiah Dickey, are flying out on a private plane tomorrow to be here for this. Spencer Danielson will be in the green room sitting, on the couches with Ashton Gentry. I mean, the fact that Boise State is going to benefit from this and be included in all of this history, it's really, really cool. And I think that's why the fan base is just obviously thankful he did, and they're going to have a statue of him outside someday. If they ever retire numbers or do something with a ring of honor, he'll certainly be one of the first ones on the list. I mean, he had an incredible career. I know a lot of fans were wishing he could have got the extra 30 yards or whatever he needed to pass Barry Sanders, but overall, I think it was really cool what he did. It's not going to happen a lot else, and that's why when Boise State's been losing a couple guys in the transfer portal, a lot of these fans are so shocked, you know, and it's like, well, Ashton Gentry didn't even want to leave. Why would these guys leave? But it's just not what happens. It's pretty rare, very rare. It's unheard of for a guy like Ashton Gentry to turn down hundreds of thousands of dollars to want to stay and leave that legacy at Boise State. But that's what he wanted. He wanted to stay. He knew his payday was coming, which it is. He bet, and he obviously paid off now that he could be a top five pick, and he knew his payday was coming. I mean, I think the fifth pick is, what, $36 million in guaranteed money or something tomorrow night. So, I mean, he's going to do just fine. And when he brings his family back, yeah, he'll be welcomed back. He can have that statue. He can have that moment. He'll be back. And I don't know if that would have been the same if he had gone somewhere else. So I know it gets talked about a lot, and some people probably roll their eyes, but it is a pretty cool story. It's a rare story that's going to become, you know, more and more rare in these days of college football.
Yeah, and I think, too, part of the story of his season was, you know, he got in that Portland State game. He didn't really play in the second half. There were 30 or 100 or 200 yards available there. He had some other guys that, you know, in the Heisman race that, you know, in the last 2 years that were playing in garbage time. Any regrets there from Spencer Danielson that they didn't go pedal to the metal, in some of those games?
Oh, don't get me started on that. I was all about that, and I had people roasting me during the season. But I thought in that Portland State game, and the game that meant more, that I didn't, I thought made, I think it was a Utah State game also. There was another game where he only played in the first half. And I said, hey, you don't have to play him the whole game. Just give him a carry, or, you know, give him a drive or two in the third quarter. Like, just to decide at halftime, the Portland State game, yeah, I think the Portland State game, he had 100-and-something yards on, like, 10 carries or something, 9 carries in the first half. It wasn't like he was getting overworked. I said, just give him one or two drives. But after they took him out at halftime in that game, then the next game they got a big lead, and it just kind of came the thing to do. So I had no problem. I was like, hey, just give him three quarters or give him 2.5 quarters. But I just thought halftime itself was a little too early. When literally one carry, Ashton Jeanty could go 80 yards for a touchdown. Give him a couple carries in the third quarter, you know, and see where he would have been. And he probably would have had the record. But the guys that want to, you know, go against that, they'll say, well, maybe he would have got hurt on one of those carries, or maybe those extra carries would have added up and he wouldn't have done as good later in the season. So you'll never know what the right answer was. I don't think Spencer Danielson regrets that. Maybe that's tomorrow when I catch up with him, something I'll bring up. But I think that it worked out the way it was supposed to. Boise State got to the playoff. He got to New York as a finalist for the Heisman, and now he's about to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft.
I know Bruce Barnum, the Portland State coach, likes to say we held Ashton Jeanty to 130 yards, or 127 yards. I think that might have been a season low for Jeanty. BJ Raines, before I let you go, Pac-12 ready, I think, and finalized the 2025 media rights deal. There is a little bit of a hang-up that's causing a delay. It is the Oregon State game that is being moved from a Saturday to a Friday. They're waiting for the contract to get signed. It's all been agreed to. They're going to announce that deal. How much interest right now from your readers and your viewers in what the Pac-12 does for 2025, given that 2026 will be a new world?
A lot. I mean, I get questions about it every day, and we do a monthly segment with Jeremiah Dickey, the athletic director. He comes on once a month and takes fan questions on my show, and it dominates the questions every month. When are we going to get the TV deal? When are we going to find out the expansion? Who are the new teams? What's going on with the Pac-12? So, I think people are going to be really curious with what the 2025 deal looks like, knowing through your reporting and others that there could be a connection with whatever TV partner it is in 25, also to 26. So I think that obviously that's going to be of note. And I think Boise State fans also are starting to, you know, follow those two teams a little more, knowing they're going to be conference mates and stuff here moving forward. So, it's a huge deal. I think fans are a little anxious, as you can imagine. It's been no news for a while here, and I know there's been a lot of work going on behind the scenes, but publicly we haven't had any news in several months, and so I think fans are eager to find out the TV deal. More importantly, I think they're eager to find out the new teams. I get that question every day. Who's it going to be? Who are they adding? What's going on? And so, yeah, I think they're eagerly awaiting getting 2025's deal over with, in part so they can move on to 2026.
Well, I think it's coming any time now. BJ Raines, have a great draft day and enjoy it. Soak it up.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, John. Anytime.
All right. There he goes. One of my favorites to bring on. He covers Boise State, does a great job with it. He's there with Ashton Jeanty. Very exciting moment for Boise State, for Jeanty, of course. But I think the Bronco Nation, you know, and I spent some time in Boise, I think the fans there are just really excited because it is another measure of validation. There was, you know, validation with winning BCS games and going to BCS games and then making the playoff. Jeanty is a Heisman finalist. When you looked up and you saw Ohio State and Oregon and Penn State and, you know, Tennessee and other schools in the playoff, you saw Boise State. And when you looked at the, you know, the Heisman ceremony, you know, you saw Travis Hunter and Dylan Gabriel and Cam Ward, and here was a Boise State player. Very validating moment. They'll get another measure of validation tomorrow as Ashton Jeanty is drafted high in that draft. Leave it here.